Blog Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, the music capital of the USA, it's Music Sin Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you. So call in 917-889-3068 or email us, musicsinfronturasmx@gmail.com. I want to welcome our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates, and also on the Artistic Echoes and the Canalside Radio Network in the UK, who will hear us tomorrow, as well as everybody on Blog Talk Radio. So remember, if you have questions or comments, you can call in or you can email in. And if you're listening to us on a podcast on iTunes or in England or whatever, you can email your questions for our guests and we will forward them on so they can reply directly to you. Program note, because we are traveling, we are not in the studio using our normally warm Yeti microphone in a padded studio, or I should say a soundproof studio. We try not to be in padded rooms. So I may sound a bit high-pitched and echoey. Don't worry, we'll be back to our normal studio in January. Now, our guest. I recently saw a totally killer band in Mexico called Melty, fronted by a young woman playing a red, red, red-hot violin, Carla Alcocer. Little did I know, as I head bob with the crowd in Guadalajara, that someday I would be talking to the woman who opened the door for strings and rock and roll, and especially for women like Carla playing those strings, Scarlett Rivera. Scarlett is an American violinist, best known for her work with Bob Dylan and his album Desire, and as part of the Rolling Thunder Tour. But she's so much more. Besides breaking the glass wall for both women and strings and rock, she has played with jazz bands, Cuban bands, Celtic groups, symphonies, New Age bands, and folk ensembles. She has toured the world, blown the roof off of venues like the Kennedy Center, appeared in Martin Scorsese's Rolling Thunder Review, a Bob Dylan story, and recorded or performed, or both, with Tracy Chapman, Keb Moe, Indigo Girls, Duke Ellington, and on and on. And she's working on two new albums for release this February. And I'm told, and we'll have to ask her about this, in her spare time she plays with swords and snakes. Best of all, we get to talk with her right now because here she is. Scarlett, welcome to Music Sin Fronteras.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Scarlett, I've spent much of the week listening to tracks from All of Me, the album you're working on, and also your albums of Celtic music and even Christmas music and some of the Desire album. And let me say, lady, you rock, right?
Thank you. You do
things with the violin and your voice that add several new dimensions to just about any kind of music. So how did it all start? When did you know that the violin was going to be your art?
Well, I mean, I actually, as a kid, I started on piano and 6 years old, and I decided I didn't take the piano, started on violin on 7 years old, and I really started with, you know, private lessons, and school orchestra always had first chair, and it was my instrument from that point on.
Okay. Well, I mentioned that you brought strings into rock. And I see strings like violins, cellos, and even violas in rock bands now quite frequently.
Correct.
They're usually played by women. Why do you think it took 22 years from, you know, Rock Around the Clock in 1954 to Desire in 1976 for rock bands to realize the power of the violin? I mean, country bands knew about it for decades.
They did. I think there were a few in between that, you know, like John Cougar Mellencamp had a violin in the band as well.
Right, which, right.
There have been a few others, you know, and I have been on the road actually with Indigo Girls when they had a cello.
That must have been fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Do you think that the lack of strings in rock had anything to do with the lack of women in rock?
Well, I think it depends on how you look at it. It was like an all guitar world point of view. So until somebody broke the barrier of going, wow, look what was missing, or look what could be there, like Bob Dylan using me, then other bands went, wow, no, that sounds great, and it's a woman. I think that.
Okay. Well, since you mentioned Bob Dylan, I know you've told the story of meeting Dylan and auditioning, which I understand included Muddy Waters, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
But I know our audience is dying to hear it, at least the short version. So how did you end up playing and recording with Bob Dylan?
Well, the short version is I was the right person, and somehow fate forced him to screech to a stop when I was walking with my violin. And he had to talk to me, and he had to hear me play. And then I said, well, you know, this is Bob Dylan. I better go follow this. And we went to his loft, and he played all kinds of songs, but not his songs. He played songs that I couldn't possibly know, and he didn't give me charts or say what key it's in or any key changes or anything. So he just tested how versatile and how much I could listen.
Wow.
And after a while, he smiled and said, hey, I'm going to a club to see a friend of mine play. You want to come? And I said, oh, yes. And I sat at the bar. And as I sat at the bar, he went and sat in with Muddy Waters. And evidently, as I was playing all afternoon, he was making up his mind and deciding that he checked all the boxes of, yes, I was right.
And then he asked you to play with Muddy Waters, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, he's a pretty particular guy, and if he doesn't like you in any way, shape, or form, you're not going to continue on going anywhere with him. So he had to like who I was as well.
I can hear thousands of musicians who are listening to the show right now saying, okay, I got to walk up and down Hollywood Boulevard with my violin or my guitar for a while and see who catches me. Any case, I want to play some of your music so our audience knows what all the excitement about. And I want to play the title track from the album you're working on, All of Me. So here is All of Me. You know, it's a good thing I have a really long cord on my headphones because I'm up dancing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, right.
It is.
And I couldn't do that with the old headphones, which had a short cord. Now, like I said in the introduction, you've played everything from rock to Celtic to urban to blues and more. And your new album, at least a few songs I've heard of it, is Down and Dirty Blues. Is that right? Is that where you are artistically right? Is that where you are artistically right now?
It is, with the exception of the song I wrote for Joni Mitchell, which is not. It's pretty.
Aha, okay. And that's going to be on the album?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I didn't get that one, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. When will the album be released?
I I think digitally at the end of January and physically in February.
Oh, cool. Oh, so not very far away. So everything's in the can now. You're going to mastering.
Yeah, well, I'm literally finishing the last songs right here, right now with Tim.
I should tell our audience that even though she lives in Southern California, she's actually in a studio in Massachusetts recording this. And why she wanted to go to Snowland for this, I don't know, but apparently it works. Do you play an electric violin with a pedal box like many of the rock violinists do today?
Well, I started that way, you know. I mean, I had, I would say I was one of the first electric players. Yeah, I had a 5-string. I had all kinds. I had a wah-wah pedal in the day. I had all kinds of things.
Wow. the last band I saw with a woman fronting it who had a violin, I think the pedal box was the size of a small Volkswagen. And it was bigger than the pedal box for the lead guitarist who stood behind
her.
Yeah, and I asked her, what do you do with all that stuff? And she walked me through each one of the switches and the boxes and the wah-wah pedal and the echo and everything. And I said, it's practically an Ableton. It's so complex. And she says, yeah, it takes me about a half hour to set it up beforehand and about 2 hours before I get here to make sure it's all right. So the violin has migrated. I want to remind our audience that we are talking with Scarlett Rivera, and you can talk with her by telephone or email. And we already got emails in, so why don't we go to the emails, okay? Rosa from Los Angeles says, oh, Rosa must be a musician. She said, what is the best violin for rock music?
Well, to be honest, I mean, you don't really need an expensive violin for, live playing. I use a better instrument when I record, but for live playing, it's a pretty inexpensive violin that I put a Fishman pickup on.
Ah, okay.
Well, so now, I'm not going to bring a Stradivarius on the road, that's for sure.
Do you own a Stradivarius?
Oh, no. If I did, I wouldn't be bringing it on the road.
Yeah, right. Right. Sally from Tampa wants to know, is your current band all guys, or are there other women back there supporting you, or does it change depending on the music or the city?
Well, it changes depending on what I'm doing and where, but the band I am in called A Call to Peace back in Los Angeles, we have an opera singer female in the band. And
cool.
We play world music under her arias, but we also perform in original compositions from each of us. So some of mine, some of theirs.
Wow.
On this album that I'm coming out with, All of Me, we got two wonderful backup singers from Jack Mack and the Heart Attack on it, singing some backup singing for me. And if
okay.
I am lucky, I'll have them sing live with me.
Yay. What's the name of your L.A. band again?
Well, there is really no name to it, actually. You mean the other one. The world music one is called A Call to Peace.
Okay, cool.
With that. With a number two piece.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I actually saw that in your webpage. So people in Southern California, my listeners here in L.A., check that out. And it's interesting you have an opera singer because I constantly encounter opera-trained singers in heavy metal bands. And I've been following a band, Sin Color, which is a cumbia mariachi rock band built around a 21-year-old opera singer, Krisha Regalado. So there's a lot of mushing of the lines going on in music, and I guess that's part of what you kicked off too, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I was a classical player that, could throw, at least how I sounded, throw the classical out the window and not sound overly classical.
Okay.
You know, but I had the ability to be, in time and in tune. When, you know, if you didn't have that training, you might not be so in time and in tune.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Mike G from San Francisco wants to know, what was your favorite concert on the tour? And I guess he means the Rolling Thunder tour. And what was your favorite solo concert just for yourself?
Well, one of the highlights shows of the Rolling Thunder was Madison Square Garden, where we performed, it was part fundraiser for Reuben Hurricane Carter. And and we had Muhammad Ali there.
Wow.
With us, yeah.
And how about one in which was a solo concert for you?
I played with my Celtic solo material. I played in Japan in a beautiful theater. I can think it was called Sojitsu Hall. It was very much like Carnegie Hall of Japan, of Tokyo.
Oh. You know, Stephen Stills once told me that when he was in Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young, and they walked out into an amphitheater with, 100,000 people out there, for the first 5 or 10 seconds, he was terrified. Does that intimidate you, seeing all those people out there waiting for you to deliver?
Well, rarely do I get stage fright, almost never, but it can happen for a minute or two here and there.
Okay. Well, I want to play another song.
Normally it doesn't happen.
I want to play another song from your forthcoming album, All of Me. And then later I want to play a little cut from the Desire album so our audience can hear the different facets of your talent. First, this is Lady Liberty.
In the shadow of a nation that once held its head so high, hope for generations, where why does it lie? Now fear and dread down upon us, the soul of the land on our thread. Freedom's disappearing, Lady Liberty hangs her head. The halls of justice are bleeding, illusion and lies swirl around. Right and wrong, a talk show game, truth cannot be found. A deceiver is among us, spinning nightmares in our heads. Fear and division, his trademark, fanning the flames she spreads.
That was Lady Liberty. And it's an interesting song to record as the country is now watching an impeachment unfold. I'm not going to ask about the inspiration, but I wonder, when you recorded that song and also the song 50-50, which is another strong message, and put them on the same album, is this you're using the album All of Me not only to show us your music, but also a little bit of who you are?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. After all of this time, if I haven't sung, might as well hear what I think about everything.
Okay. All right. Good. Why did you decide to do this full-throated debut album now?
I finally got over my fear of singing or feeling that I shouldn't sing or that my voice wasn't good enough, and little by little other really top-notch band members pushed me into and encouraged me to step forward as a lead.
Okay. Well, we're really glad you did.
Yeah.
Now, I want to play a song from Desire, the album you recorded with Bob Dylan, so our audience can hear a little bit of the difference. Here's Oh Sister. Now, the violin is very present in that song. It's almost another singer. The song wouldn't work as well or actually work at all without it. But it's kind of a traditional violin. It's very recognizable as a violin. How do you characterize the difference in the role of the violin in a song like Oh Sister and a song like Lady Liberty?
Well, I didn't even use violin in Lady Liberty at all.
Right.
But
yeah.
Let's say on the same album on Hurricane.
Okay.
I played Hurricane like a lead guitarist on violin, whereas this song, Oh Sister, it didn't call for sounding like a lead guitar on it. I mean, of course. I mean, the song tells you how to play. So.
Okay.
And by the way, I did replace Eric Clapton on the Desire album. He was supposed to be on it. Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you put on your headstone. Okay. What do you think of the emergence and the evolution of the violin and rock and pop music since you kicked it off?
Well, I'm thrilled because that's what I envisioned, that it was a hugely more versatile instrument than was presently on the scene. And that's why I bought a one-way ticket to New York from Illinois.
All right. Well, we're glad you did, and we're glad you didn't have to buy a ticket back.
And I also,
follow...
at night, was in I was in a Latin charanga Cuban band. Well, during the same time, and also doing jazz with Ornette Coleman in the daytime.
Wow, it's amazing. Do you follow some of the women who have brought the violin to the front of rock now, like Susan Aquila or Bella Strings?
I can't say that I do, but I should check them out if you tell me more about them.
Okay, well, maybe off air I'll do that, because there's a whole family of women who now front bands with violins. Oh, we've got a couple more emails here. We've got Rodney. I've been waiting for this. Rodney wants to know, what was that line about snakes and swords?
Right. Well, on the Dylan tour, I did carry a dagger, and people, I didn't wear it all the time, but I had it in my room, and it was kind of just a metaphysical thing. It wasn't that I needed it for protection from anyone. It was kind of my Excalibur. And of course, I didn't carry snakes on the tour. No.
But you had them since childhood.
Yeah, but I also drew a snake on my forehead sometimes through a sword. So, I mean, if you watch the Rolling Thunder review film, the Martin Scorsese film, you will see some of the symbolism that I painted on my face. And sometimes I drew a sword on my face, cheek, or a sword on my forehead, and sometimes a snake on my chest. I painted one time, and I painted butterfly wings on my face quite often.
Now that, those were the days, and I remember them. We have another, this must be from a, somebody knows something about violins and music. This is from Clarence in Atlanta, and he wants to know, do you play one of the new electric violins designed for rock singers like the Viper? I don't even know what the Viper is. Maybe you do.
No, I you know, I know the designer, Mark, who designed the Viper. I have tried them, but they don't feel, I don't feel like that's my kind of instrument. And I never could feel comfortable playing it, or I didn't feel comfortable playing it. So I didn't want to buy one. So, but I don't, you know, discourage anybody else who feels comfortable playing one.
Okay. All right.
I have had, you know, other strange looking, I had a 5-string Steinberger that also wasn't terribly comfortable, but it was sounded great.
Which is what, which is 3/4 of the battle, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now you're in Martha's Vineyard right now, but I know you're going to be coming back to LA, and you have some shows coming up. Please tell us about the shows in LA. Maybe I can go to one of them.
That'd be great. I have to come back for rehearsals this week with our band, A Call Two Piece, and we have two shows on Friday, one on the 20th. I think the name of the place is the church in Ocean Park, which is in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is in a high school auditorium, but it's a really nice black tie event, a fundraiser. And it's we're putting a lot of effort into that particular one. And it's got a meet and greet after for that one.
What date is that one?
The 21st.
Oh, okay, the 21st. Okay,
so
and that's also in, and that's
Santa,
in Santa
Monica.
Monica
as well.
Okay, all right. Where can people go, if, in case they didn't write these down, where can people go to see on the web where your performances are going to be?
Acalltopeace.org.
Acalltopeace.org. Okay, everybody out there in Southern California, the 20th and the 21st, you'll have an opportunity to see her play live in Santa Monica. And go to calltopeace.org. That's call to the number peace.org. And you'll get the dates and the locations. And hopefully there's an opportunity there to buy tickets too, right?
Oh, there will be, yeah.
Okay. Now, I've been told, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that you also have a new Celtic album in the works. Is that true?
I do. I am working on compiling the best of my released ones and the best of my unreleased ones, and actually adding new parts to it and new, like a fretless bass or percussion, some sound effects. I mean, one was very haunting. I asked Eduardo, my producer and bass player in Call to Peace, to find the sound of a loon, which is
wow.
A beautiful, magical bird that's a water bird. So the song opens with the sound, the feeling of mist and the loon. And
wow.
It's kind of going to be kind of a mystical album. It's going to be called Celtic Magic.
And when will that be released?
Probably more towards March.
Okay. Well, when that's released, please let me know so we can, first of all, review it. I'm part of the LA
mm-hmm.
Music Critics, and also have you back
mm-hmm.
on the show and play some of it.
Oh, I'd be delighted to.
And I'd be delighted to have you. Okay. Let's see. Well, you know what? I'm getting away from my producer that it's just about out of time here. So what is the best way for people to follow you online?
I have a new website, and it is Scarlett Rivera Music. www.truthcannotbefound.com.
Okay. And can people also pre-order your albums on that website?
I don't know, but I'll find out.
Okay. And if they can't, you'll fix it, huh? Right. And where's the best place for them to hear you online and to buy your albums?
I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I know some of my music is on Pandora, but frankly, I've never searched for it. So, I mean,
okay.
I'm busy writing new stuff. So,
right. Well, I can tell everybody on Spotify and iTunes. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right, because I spent some time looking for them today. So people should go to either Spotify to stream you or iTunes to buy your albums and download them. There are probably other places too, but go to her website. That's www.scarlettriveramusic.com and stay in touch with her and you know, sign up for the newsletter and all that other good stuff. Scarlett, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and for giving us so much great music over the years.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my calling, and going to carry it out to the end.
Okay,
a new adventure each year, and I hope I get to see you at one of those concerts.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Please
we'll
let me know if you're there.
Okay. Oh, I always do, and we'll just hang on. I've got to do some business here, but hang on. I want to tell our listeners that you've been listening to a conversation with Scarlett Rivera. You can follow her at www.scarlettriveramusic.com. Take home or download her albums from Celtic to Rock. They're all there. And also, you can hear the full story of her meeting Bob Dylan and on the street and what happened from there on in. On interviews that she's posted on YouTube. So just go to YouTube, look her up, and you'll find them. It's a hoot. It really is a hoot, all right? Oh, yeah. Well, you've been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan from Cyber Station USA, Blog Talk Radio, and our radio affiliates here and in the United Kingdom. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feed, and get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer, Lars Christensen, our program director is Jason Bartleben. You can download this and other Music Sin Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com, and we're also on iTunes. So tune in next week. We're going to be talking with the Mexican artist Eros the Fool and Oceana Jews, who actually live in Massachusetts. But, well, no, I think they're living in Mexico now. Check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will update you. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tener un gran fin de semana musical. And we're going to leave you with a little bit of Scarlett Rivera's upcoming release, 50-50.
That's a crime and shame.